I'm Hannah Fitman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vesthuizen.
And we are
the Fat Boy Podcast!
I really love how it's now becoming a recurring theme that Hannah can't remember how this podcast starts.
Just your name.
It's just the name.
Just the one name.
Like the first thing you learn.
To be fair, you are tired today, so we forgive you.
I am hanging out of my arsehole.
What a picture to keep off the podcast with. I can see it
though. Oh god, I mean, I am still in my pajamas. So are you though, Hannah? I like this for us.
Yeah, although I will say that I did wake up this morning, have a shower, and then get into a new clean pair of pajamas. So
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's about 3:30, just to clarify. It's not like 11 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Recording at 3:30. I have to say, I woke up, didn't have a shower, just vomited in the toilet instead, and then went back to bed in the pajamas, and now I'm here.
Do you know what? But don't you feel alive? Don't you feel like you're living?
I feel alive, guys.
You feel alive, but simultaneously dead inside. It's a wonderful mixture.
It's confusing, but do you know what? You're both here to support me through this.
Yeah. A heady mix. Do you know what's great though, guys? I feel like all of this stuff is just really good content. Like, our lives are messy.
Yes.
But do they not anecdotally work for us?
Yes.
Are we not great hoots to have at the party?
Thank you.
It's,
do you know,
great.
What? I've been waiting a very long time for you to say hooted to party.
Hooted a party!
She said hooted the party.
I'm so excited to be like the fun, drunk, still single aunt in her mid-30s. Like, I'm just storing up tales to tell the young people that come into my family in the future.
Cannot wait. True ambition.
What did you guys do last night?
Don't attack me.
Oh, no, what did you do?
She did nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
That's wonderful.
I think that sounds like a great thing to do.
What did I do?
It was a Thursday night, to be fair. It's not like it was even the wild, wild weekend.
No, true. Thursday, new Friday, as they say.
Yeah, this is true. So, got to make up for the lost weekends of COVID.
Exactly.
This is it, guys.
I watched the final episode of What If.
Is it good? I've not seen it.
It is the Marvel animated TV show.
It's very you.
It's okay. It's not really my animation style, necessarily.
What's the style? Can you put another
animation? It's not...
animation?
Yeah, I mean, it is super comic booky, but it's not like Spider-Verse.
That's not my jam either.
No, you look quite like the Big Mouthy sort of stuff, don't you?
And yeah, like Rick and Morty, Big Mouth, that's... Although there's so much like bad stuff of that genre.
Yeah.
There's so much trash. But when it's done well, it's done so well. What's yours?
Mine, I think I quite like anime.
Ah.
It was like more like we grew up watching like Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon, and actually I don't know what Yu-Gi-Oh is. But like Pokemon and like I was telling Hanako about this show called Star Wars Visions, which is just fucking incredible.
Sounds amazing.
It's amazing. So seven anime houses have made Star Wars shorts.
Oh, that's
They're
so
fucking
cool.
Incredible.
Because Kath was saying Star Wars was like heavily, heavily influenced by Kurosawa and all his films, like Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
And so as a kind of
homage,
ode to them, and homage.
I don't know how to say
homage.
They have like decided to hire these seven anime creators in Japan to make these shorts. I can't wait to see them.
They're amazing.
Oh, I have to watch them as well.
Yeah, very cool.
On Disney Plus, right?
Yeah, Disney Plus. They're so good.
Do you know what it is? I feel like I would really love anime but I'm such a coward and I don't like to feel emotions. I just like to feel good 24/7 as much as poss, you know? Got a lot going on in my brain already.
Love it.
But I'm like, do we need any external things that can make me feel bad? No, we don't. So I've been so cowardly because I know that like anime is obviously so brilliant and so moving.
It's so fucking depressing.
A lot of it.
All the Studio Ghibli stuff I actually can't handle. Like they make me so sad. Like,
I see, I don't know if I can have any more existentialism.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I've had a few recommendations that sound quite light, like quite light anime stuff.
If anyone listening to this podcast has some light anime recs, hit us up.
I've got some. Your Name is quite chill. I think that even might be on Netflix. There are some others that are really great. I can't remember their names at the moment, but I'll like make a list for you guys and send them to you.
Put them in the show notes or something.
Yeah, put them in the show notes.
Spooky season anime rec.
Ah,
Castlevania.
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 Oh, Castlevania.
It's about Dracula.
Oh my god.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun.
It's really fun.
Okay, I will watch that.
Yeah.
That's I'm definitely gonna watch that.
Yeah, that combines a few of our favorite things.
Yes.
Yeah, it's quite
getting spooky,
fighty, but it's a cool show. Yeah,
oh, it's a show. It's not a film.
No, it's like four seasons.
Oh wow!
And it's got some. It's got a cool, really good cast.
Oh fun!
Yeah,
oh,
great. I do love it when there's like four seasons of something. You're like, oh, like this.
Yeah,
I can really binge it.
You can just really rely on it.
Guys, I'm sorry, I have, ever since I've mentioned the emotional torture, I have been biting my tongue to not mention Squid Game, because...
Yeah. I'm not watching it, I'm sorry. You can talk about it, though.
Wait, you're not watching it as in you're opting out?
Oh, Kathy, you're so
No, I won't give spoilers. I'm not going to give spoilers. I won't give any spoilers. Okay. I've already sent a voice note about this, but I really feel the need to say it on the podcast. Episode 6, everyone knows
Marbles.
That episode 6... Yeah, marbles.
Fucked me up.
Everyone knows that episode 6 is gonna fuck you up.
Fuck me.
And like many people said to me, episode 6, watch out, baby. And I was like, I got a heart of steel. I am the ice queen. Try and melt me, you can't. Oh my god. Oh my god. Do you know what it was? I think normally when I watch sad stuff, I'll just look away a bit. I'll just distract myself. I'll maybe be like, don't want to feel that. Gonna scroll on the gram. But because it's in Korean and you have to read the subtitles, you cannot look away. You literally can't. It's like someone's peeled your eyes open and taped them. So when I was watching it, it was so sad. It was literally emotional trauma. I can't believe how many characters I was attached to that went through just hell and back. There's no spoilers. I'm just saying that hell occurs to... You're attached
like
to all the characters and they all go through hell pretty much in every episode. Yeah, yeah. But this one in particular... And I was crying so much that there is like a 10-minute period where so much bad stuff happens that I was kept shutting my eyes and then missing what happened.
And having to go
and having to rewind and rewatch it because I was like sobbing so hysterically. So it ended up being like 10 minutes was like 30 minutes of just emotional torture from having to rewind it so many times.
Self-inflicted.
It's just too much. It's too much.
Oh, God.
Did you have this problem, Hanako?
I found it very moving, but I didn't find it, like, it didn't destroy me.
Oh, my gosh, how?
Maybe because I have a heart of steel, and I am the ice queen.
You're the true Denizen.
Oh,
what am I going to do? I'm the weeper.
Yeah. You actually do cry.
I weep at a good advert.
Oh, well, so do I.
Christmas time comes around, Kath's just a puddle.
Genuinely. Walking down the road, a good Harry Potter quote.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm the same. I don't know what happened.
The right meme.
I did find it very emotional and I was sobbing, but it didn't get me in the way that it obviously got you, Hannah.
I wonder if it's because I don't actually engage with a lot of sad content. So when it does, it really hit you like a
four-wheel bus.
Yeah,
as opposed to a three-wheel bus.
Yeah, Mikey.
You are a weeper, aren't you, Hanako?
Oh my god. Everything and anything.
Yeah.
I think it's so good though to cry. I mean, I'm not much of a crier.
Yeah, it's really healthy.
But it's very, very healthy.
Because all that shit lives in your body, doesn't it? And crying's a good way to get it out, for sure.
Physical release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember someone saying to me once, you either cry it out or you shit it out or something like that. They said, like, yeah, you could just shit out your feelings if you want. And I was like,
I do both.
So you guys, I definitely you guys are criers.
I'm a big crier okay. and a big pooer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get big it twisted. Release. Hanako Footman shits.
Do not get it twisted, bitches.
She bombs. She
do
shits,
not get it twisted,
cries.
Guys. And sometimes she does both at the same time.
All three at once. It's messy. That was me this morning.
Oh my God, probably, babe.
No, it was.
Love this for us.
Then I went back to bed, popped some paracetamol.
Which is nice.
Heaven. She's a new woman, drinking a sugary cup of tea.
Oh, lush. Oh, sugar, oh. You need sugar when you're hungover.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What yeah. did you do last night, Hannah?
Very little, guys. I actually downloaded VPN, which I highly recommend because I'm in Ireland and I wanted to watch some stuff on BBC iPlayer. Yeah. Please, TV licensing people, do not come for me. But because I needed to watch my my classic, oh, what's it called? Like your like comfort show.
Yes. British Bake Off.
Heaven.
Oh, no, actually, because I really don't think I'm invested without Sandy.
Oh, no, it's great without Sandy.
Do you think?
Oh, don't say such things. Blasphemous. Oh, blasphemous.
I do quite like it.
Do you? I'd actually say that's a hate crime. It's homophobic to say such things.
You like Matt more than Sandy?
I don't think I have a preference, necessarily, okay. but okay. I thought Matt would get on my nerves.
And he hasn't.
And he doesn't. He's actually a very lovely man. He's he very nice man. To the contestants.
Yeah.
He's really you there for them for emotional support yeah. and it's beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
I did watch a series with Matt and he is good, but I just sadly has my heart. Soz.
Mm.
She does.
Just do you know anything with Noel Fielding, sign me up.
Yeah, just Noel Fielding. Well, yeah, he can stay. Yeah, he can stop
your,
on the
your one true love.
Love him.
Yeah. So, very you weirdly
like
I can so imagine you with someone like him.
Yeah, him and Russell Brown and Big Fat Quiz of the Year awoke something in my soul.
Sorry,
I know
Russell Brand,
but them together on Big Fat Quiz of the Year was just something special to me.
Russell Brand is freakishly articulate.
Yeah, I know, amazing. It's
but he's hyper intelligent. I think that's probably why
he fucks all the time. Like
got
Casanova.
So many problems. Yeah, he's such a, well, he was such a fuckboy. Have you, and he's got like, he's got so many demons for sure. But it's very interesting listening to him talk about how, I guess it's that thing, isn't it? Of like being like, it doesn't really matter what it is. If you can enjoy it, you can abuse it. And that's like, in a way, very comforting.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, we can all be this person
yeah.
if the wrong stuff happens to us or whatever.
Yeah.
And the fact that his intelligence is probably the reason why he's got so many demons is like a weird sort of pleasure. Not pleasure, but like comfort as well.
Yeah. Because we're not that intelligent, so.
At least you're... Well, no. I was thinking more, we are.
Just, yes, you hence know. Our demons.
But it is also... Hence our demons. But also that, or Elliot Salt and I, who's in Winx with me at the moment filming, we often talk about, What a blissful joy it would be to just be like the mental equivalent of like a running dog along a beach.
Oh,
it'd
yeah.
It'd be nice. Not a thought or care in the
oh,
world.
Oh, God. To live in Hector's brain for a day. By the way,
Hector's
my dog.
Cat's dog.
An animal, not a person.
Yeah.
That would be lovely.
Shall we fucking do this part two? I'm so excited.
Hell yes, we should.
Hell yes.
So, a little recap about Giacomo, that's the one, Casanova.
Giacomo is a good name.
It is a good name. A strong name.
A strong name.
And Giacomo. Very extra, which is only apt for this
Giacomo
man.
Giacomo Casanova.
So I'm going to do a very brief recap. Please feel free to jump in and remind of any things that I have forgotten. So born in Venice during the height of the debauched pleasure capital era, he was a hyper intelligent young bloomer, famously
Russell
attending.
Brand.
Yeah, much of that Russell Brand character type. He famously attended uni at 12, got a hand job at 13, and then graduated with a law degree and lost his virginity in a threesome with two sisters all before he was a legal adult.
One of which became a nun.
One of which did become a nun, indeed. Repenting ever since. And he found different patrons across Europe. You know, he lost some of them because he was flirting with their mistresses. He won others over by saving their lives. It was very impressive the amount of people that he managed to woo, kind of both genders, I would say. He'd had a couple of little stints in prison for gambling, you know, just a little cheeky stint here and there. Started to sire illegitimate children, and obviously, lest we forget,
what a sexy word. Sire. Sounds like a horse.
Oh yeah,
sounds very Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
It is.
Ooh,
it's quite actually this sort of energy as well, with all the occult elements to the story. But yes, he sired a couple of illegitimate children thus far, and lest we forget, he started the most sacrilegious orgy in a nunnery of all time. He had loved, lost, and lusted plenty by the time we left him in the last episode.
And he's only in his 20s, right?
Well, we left him at 30, actually. But okay.
Big 3-0.
The big 3-0. But naturally,
hence the nun party.
Yes. So he'd gained quite a reputation by this point, not only for his sexploits, but also for his ties to the Cabalists and the Freemasons. He basically appeared to be the devil? The devil. Yes,
famously the devil.
He's the devil. He is the devil reincarnate in a lusty libertine.
Oh, so, thank you for that, Hannah.
So we basically finished last time, like we were saying, celebrating Casanova's big 3-0 and his official third arrest. This time,
the rascal.
Yeah, for the crime of affront to religion and decency. So are we ready, ladies, to jump back in?
I'm ready. I just have one question for you, Hannah.
Tell me more. Question away.
What does this bloke look like? Because I don't think we've talked about his appearance.
Oh, me oh my. Let me just pull up a little cheeky pic. Me oh my.
Giacomo Casanova. Is that an Italian accent?
It was good enough.
Thank you.
Let me just show you guys. Do you know what? I feel
he's
like
not that hot.
Would you like to have a little Google? Because I could show you, but there's, you know, a wide array of paintings of him in Google. I will say that he was played by Heath Ledger in a movie about him. And
oh,
I will say that's a
very
stretch.
Generous.
That's very, very generous.
Oh, wow. Good question, actually. Who would you cast as Casanova? Who would play him in the biopic?
Maybe like Stanley Tucci?
What, looks-wise?
And looks alone.
Well, just that first picture, there is like similar noses and similar eyes. And Stanley Tucci is Italian.
Yes, I think he's Italian American.
Question mark.
Do you know what I would say? I would go less Stanley Tucci, because maybe Stanley Tucci when he was younger. Slightly too old now, I think.
Yeah.
But I would go for someone even like Adam Driver, where you're like, oh. Objectively, yes. I look at him, not fit. But then, by half an hour's time, you're like, honestly, please let me see you naked. Do you know what I mean?
That is such a good shout.
Yeah, that is a good one. And more sex appeal.
Yeah, but there's something about, as well, and I think this is a trap that many people fall into, where, just flipping my hair as I say this, dramatically, for dramatic effect, but where someone is not that fit, so you'll be like, oh, I really fancy them, and they are so lucky because I fancy them even though they're not that hot.
Yes.
But turns out they've got raw sex appeal and absolutely everyone wants to bang them, so really, you're not alone and you're probably going to get fucked over.
Exactly, probably more likely to get fucked over.
And I think that must have been what happened with Casanova.
This weird thing where you're like, I'm doing you a service.
Yes.
You are so fortunate.
You're so lucky.
That I will shine my light upon you and grace you.
What is
it's
that?
It's probably karma that's like, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That weird simultaneous thing where you're like, I am so hot, but also kind of hate myself.
But just, also don't know my self-worth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So bizarre that. I would say the other epidemic that's occurring throughout the nation. It's a weird double bind, that one. But
it is, for sure.
men like Casanova definitely prosper off of it.
Adam Driver is a fucking great shout. So just to paint a picture for the listeners, he is white-haired, one of those like classic old man wigs, you know, that you wear like lawyers wear.
Yeah.
A little bow at the back, little lovely little ponytail, low ponytail. He's got a double chin, guys.
Yeah, he does. It's
fair to say. He's got quite one chin and one to spare.
Except when he looks young, he doesn't look like he's got a double chin.
Wait, which?
Whether there's anything wrong with a double chin, that's a sign of wealth and beauty and blah, 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 all the good things.
Which photo where he's young? Not photo, because there aren't any photos.
The one where he's in the blue jacket. We'll obviously put these on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, he looks quite angular there.
Do you know what? He looks a bit like my first boyfriend. That proper boyfriend. Do you guys know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think he also looks a little bit like...
I'm going to vomit for a second time, guys.
I think he looks a little bit like another ex-boyfriend of somebody there.
Speaking of ex-boyfriends, oh my God, Hannah, I cannot believe I haven't fucking said this. Oh my God. I saw an ex of boyfriend's past, of yours... Mine.
Okay.
This is the one that I think he looks like.
Oh my God! How when did you tell me about
a few weeks
this?
Ago, I totally forgot. And then like every now and then I've been like waking up in the middle of the night.
Random being shit. Like,
I must tell Hannah.
Do you think he kind of looks like him?
Do you know what? It's the dark eyes.
It's the dark eyes.
The deep set eyes.
Bloody hell.
The guy who took you to the Russian,
spa. Yes.
Lest we forget.
Mm-hmm. Lest we forget what an experience that was. Well, we digress. Perhaps he can play him. Do you know what I would say?
He can play him.
He is a prime example of someone who you'd be like, I don't think you're that fit. No one thinks you're that fit. But yet everyone wants to bang him.
Yep. I really hope he's listening to this episode.
Look. The man doesn't even have social media. He would never listen to this podcast. Perhaps I should send it to him and just be like, listen to the shout out for you. Yeah. He'd be thrilled. Yeah,
basically say that you're hideous.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Okay. No, I take it back. Look, I dated him twice.
Well, Adam Driver's not hideous.
Oh, no. If you were in the same category as Adam Driver.
He's not.
I'm sorry.
I wish women lusted after me like women lust after Adam Driver.
Honey, they do.
Oh, thanks.
They 100% do.
Do you reckon anyone's...
They 100% do.
Do you reckon anyone's...
You get people request that you stomp on their necks, Hannah.
Oh, yes. A daily occurrence.
Yeah, that is quite bizarre. I will say, I've mentioned about the TikTok where someone literally spends like so long working out the maths of how big someone's hand is. Sorry, not someone's hand.
Oh, yeah.
And driver's hand is. I'm going
to
put that TikTok on.
Me.
Instagram.
That's so good.
Because
it's
monstrous.
So good. His hands are massive. Oh my God, guys, how have I not told you about Annette? Oh, we have so much to catch up on.
It's been
so
long.
Okay. Oh my fucking God. So, Adam Driver did a film that went to Cannes and he got a 17-minute standing ovation during which he just sat there and lit a cigarette. Which is true. Like, imagine if that was your pal, you'd be like, that's so embarrassing for you.
Oh my God, I just got shivers and not in a good way.
No, it's not fair. It's actually Mr. Narcissist on crack. Anyway, so I was like, need to see this film. Elliot, who I mentioned earlier, and I went to the cinema to go and watch it.
Oh, it's out. The one with Marion Cotillard.
Yeah, that one. Let me say, it's like a fever dream I wish I never had. I really disliked it. And I was like, maybe I don't like art. Maybe I am not cultured. But I will say, it wasn't for me. Anyway, there was just this one... His hands are so massive throughout that, honestly, it is distracting. But he's basically just doing, like, angry man acting throughout, which is so not for me. Oh, like, I just completely disengage with that sort of stuff. But they start singing, because it is also a musical... And they start singing this song that just goes, we love each other so much. Or like, I'm singing it really badly, but it is kind of like that, like, and just like monotonously over and over again. And they like drive home on a motorbike, singing it. Then they like walk around for a bit, singing it. And then they go to bed together, singing it. And there is a point at which, this is in dead seriousness, she is lying on the bed naked, both her hands on her boobs, and he is in between her legs licking her out. And then he comes up for air and they both sing, "We love each other so much." And then he goes back down in between her legs and starts licking her out again.
What the fuck?
It's so, and it's like so artiste that you're like, I can't, like, they're taking themselves so seriously.
This is the thing, like, can audiences fucking lap that shit up?
Yeah,
you showed that film in a cinema in Skegness.
In an Odeon.
They'd literally be like, Skegness. Sorry, what is this crap?
Skegness.
I would argue in any single Odeon, like, franchise,
yeah,
everyone would leave. It's absurd.
Hanako is clawing at her face right now.
I'm just still haunted by the image of Adam Driver. Sloppy faced, coming up for air and singing "We Love Each Other," it was.
Oh my god, "We Love Each Other" so much. What an uncreative.
Is that the actual line? Is that the actual line?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I will put this clip on Instagram.
No.
I will send it to you guys because it was when it was happening. I was like, surely not. I was like, this must be tongue-in-cheek.
No sense of irony whatsoever.
Oh no! It's
bloody
fucking dead serious.
Bloody it's Nora. So,
and then she gives birth to a baby and it's a doll. And then he sits on the doll.
Oh, good.
Okay, I don't get it.
It's so weird. It's so... Je ne comprends pas.
Je ne comprends pas.
But basically, he would still play Casanova.
He would. Because he's that kind of guy.
Bloody hell, that was a tangent. But I feel it was worth it.
It was worth it.
It was worth it. Now so we really understand what Casanova looks like. And I feel like we can move forward with the show.
Yeah,
we love each other so much.
Oh, can we please sign off this episode singing
"We love each other so much"?
Yeah, okay, put a pin in that. So, like I said, when we left it last time,
about 50 minutes ago,
several years ago, when we were talking about it. We left it with the big 3-0 and the man. The man being Casanova has gone. Oh my god.
Oh no.
We've got a lot of his life to get through, guys.
I'm sweating. Same. I'm hot.
Hysteria.
Oh, allergic reaction.
So he's in prison for the affront to religion and decency. So he's in prison.
Yes.
And he's been sentenced for 5 years. But he's been sentenced...
5 years, fuck.
Yeah. But he's been sentenced to a palace. It's called... I want to say like Doge. It's D-O-G-E. So he's been sentenced to 5 years in Doge's prison. But he's been put in a cell where he has really, really horrible cellmates. I mean, it's no... Like, it's bad to have a bad roommate, but imagine having a bad cellmate. Not the one.
Ugh.
Bad and like violent or bad in like you were annoying and fart? Oh.
I imagine a strong heady mix of the two. He also is apparently in the cell with, quote, millions of fleas.
Oh,
which is
Jesus.
Actual hell. So Casanova was like, I'm not putting up with this. He actually, at first, he charmed them and they got him like winter bedding and a monthly stipend for books and better food. He also got exercise walks. His charm was really incredible and he managed to get all of this stuff. But while he was on one of his exercise walks, he found a piece of black marble and an iron bar, which he smuggled back into his cell.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
No.
So when he was temporarily without cellmates, he spent 2 weeks sharpening the bar on a spike, into a spike on the stone.
Oh my God.
He began to gouge through the wooden floor underneath his bed, knowing that his cell was directly above the Inquisitor's chamber and therefore like an exit. So 3 days, he was working away and he was like, in 3 days there's a festival and no officials will be in the chamber below because they're going to all go out and get really pissed. And he was like, in 3 days, I'm going to escape.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Casanova receives a little knock on his cell, little tap on his iron rails. And they're like, mate, you've been charming us for so long. We've decided to move you to a larger, lighter cell with a view.
fuck no.
And Casanova's like, nah, honestly, guys, I'm good. I'm good. I actually like it. Me and the Fleas were pals now. And they're like, no, mate, come on, we'll move you out. So 3 days before his escape, they move him. And he wrote, I felt that I had nothing to hope for. And the only relief left to me was to think of the future. So he's like, sorely
waiting
depressed.
For those 5 years to take away so he can get on with his life.
Which, like, when do people live till at that time? Not that old.
Not that old.
Not that 50s? Old. 5 years is like, it's like dog years probably, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, if there's nothing else about Casanova that we know, we do know he's a persistent bloke, don't we?
We do.
Yeah. So naturally, he comes up with another escape plan. And let me just say that this one is much better anecdotally.
Oh, we love.
So honestly, get moved cells just for the anecdote. He got the help of the prisoner in the cell next door, a father, a priest, called Father Babbly.
Why is he in prison?
He's a renegade a priest. He's a renegade priest. Love.
A naughty priest.
Kindred spirit.
Yeah, truly. So Casanova, who still had the spike, because basically he'd been hiding the spike in an armchair.
Up his bottom.
Up his bum. No, he'd...
The giant spike.
One of the many things that he'd managed to charm was he got himself an armchair, as one does. That's quite cushy, actually. But he took...
It's very Cassie Chadwick of him, actually.
It's very Cassie Chadwick of him. These charmers get away with so much furniture in their jail cells.
So much fucking furniture.
Yeah, so he got the spike and he hid it in the armchair, so he still had it. But he managed to smuggle it to the priest in a folio Bible, which he carried under a heaping plate of pasta.
incredible work. That's the most Italian thing I've ever heard.
It's so Italian. When in Italy, am I right?
So, carbonara and a Bible.
And a Bible.
Classic
and
combination.
Metal rod. Lovely.
Metal rod.
So the priest made a hole in his ceiling, climbed across and made a hole in the ceiling of Casanova's cell. But the only problem was, basically, Casanova had a new cellmate who he assumed was a snitch. So Casanova just terrorised him into total silence.
Anyone says snitch, I just imagine a golden snitch.
A golden snitch.
Casanova's hanging out with a golden snitch.
Yeah, Casanova's cellmate was golden snitch. So Casanova had to terrify the snitch into silence. And then when the priest broke into Casanova's cell, Casanova lifted himself up through into the ceiling and was like to the snitch, like, do you want to come with me? Like, it's fine. And the snitch was like...
And it was like...
Yeah. Now the snitch was like, I'm actually good, mate. You're horrible. I'm not coming with you. I'd rather rot in jail. Yeah. That's how much he terrorised him. I know, terrible.
Oh, God.
Cass, not happy about this.
Casanova is, he's got a dark side for sure. So anyway, he was like, fine, I'll just leave this very extra note behind. So he left behind a note that said, the 117th Psalm, which is, Psalm?
The Bible
Psalm.
One.
Psalm.
Psalm.
You're not religious.
There's an S missing there.
The 117th Psalm. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Sure. You're not religious either,
you're
Casanova.
Not going to fucking declare the works of the Lord. You're just going to get back to shagging, aren't you, Casanova? Mm.
Oh, my God. I think he does think he is the Lord.
Yeah.
He's over, like, my own words. Complex.
He wants people ironically, to try the flesh.
Yeah, he does. He does. Okay, so Casanova and Barbly pried their way through the lead plates and onto the sloping roof of Doge's palace. It was like really foggy and the drop down to the canal was so large. They were like, we're not going to make it. But Casanova managed to prise open the grate over a window and broke it to gain entry.
And so twists and turns.
I know. He managed to go back down to his cell. He was like, give me the bed sheet. He created a rope.
Genius.
I thought you were going to say a parachute.
No, a rope. And they lowered themselves down into the room below where they just managed to prise the grates off the window and broke into it. It was 25 feet. And they break into this window. They get there and they rest until the morning. They change their clothes and then they break a lock and they exit and pass into the palace corridors. They run through galleries.
Wait, they have
and
a nap?
Oh, yeah, they're knackered. No, they wait because obviously they're like... They'll be out searching for us in the prison now. So we have to like bide our time and make them think that we've just escaped some other way. And then, so they're just like hiding out, basically.
Just hoping that they don't go into that room.
Yeah. But it's a massive palace. So the odds are in their favor.
Okay.
Yeah. So they wait until the morning, then they break out. They run through all the corridors, the galleries and the chambers until finally they find a guard and they convince him that they had been locked in the palace after a official function. Just got a bit too pissed and passed out. And the guard lets them out at 6 o'clock in the morning and they escape to Paris by gondola on the same day.
Oh my God. Yeah. I want to escape to Paris by gondola.
Yeah, me too. They are the first people ever to escape the palace. And this made him pretty famous.
Oh,
and this also got him.
Like this guy needed fame.
Yeah. This also got him laid a lot during his next 18 years of exile from Venice.
Everyone loves a bad boy.
Everyone
does. Romeo.
Yeah. But this is the thing, like Venice is his home and it's really like, you know, he kept traveling to other places and being like, it's not right for me. He'd always go back to Venice. So him being banished for 18 years is genuinely banished.
Banished, that one word, banished.
Yeah, very, oh my God.
Slaying 10,000 Casanovas.
What bloody actors we be.
Love it. What can you say?
So once he's in Paris, he knew that he would be there a while. He wrote, I saw that to accomplish anything, I must bring all my physical and moral faculties in play, making the acquaintance of the great and powerful, exercise strict self-control, and play the chameleon.
Exercise strict self-control?
Basically, stop
gambling
loads, stop shagging like my mate's wives and stuff like that.
Getting enemies left, right, and centre.
This is Casanova we're talking about.
Yeah. Look, he wrote it. Doesn't mean he meant it. The amount of times I've written, like, today I will remain positive and not complain, and then I'll literally, like, trip over in the street and be like, oh, hell. Yeah. Why me? So,
so he's not a man of his word.
No, he's not.
We all have ambition, don't we? We all have aims. It's like his New Year's resolution.
Yeah, exactly.
And then like day five, he's not done it.
Exactly. Yeah. 2nd of January, he's pissed as a fart when he said he wouldn't drink. He was doing dry jam. He
spent all his money and his willies in someone.
With his willies in someone!
That's a horrible image.
Actually, so vile. Okay, but what I will say is that Casanova by this point had matured. He was in his 30s. He's relying less on his charm and his quick thinking. Instead, he's just become more calculating and deliberate.
He's turning into a sly fox.
Oh, he is indeed. He has become a real sly fox. He became one of the trustees of the first state lottery. And he was obviously one of the best ticket salesmen. I'm sure he could sell underwear to a nudist. He earned a fortune super quickly, and he used that money to enter high circles and start seducing. So, but he's also like, I'm not just going to like bang people and take their money at this point. He was like, I'm actually going to really manipulate people.
Oh, God.
Yeah, what a choice. So he starts duping endless socialites with his occultism, particularly the Marquis Jean d'Urf. Like of that egg. Pronunciation, what you will.
The classic. Yeah. The classic Jean d'Urf.
So basically, Jean.
As an egg.
I think so.
Jean egg.
We'll see.
Jean egg.
He uses his really incredible memory, because obviously he's a hyper-intelligent bloke, to make it appear like he has a sorcerer's power of numerology. And in Casanova's view, he wrote, quote, deceiving a fool is an exploit worthy of an intelligent man.
Oh my God.
So he really like was taking everyone for their money.
For a ride.
He went on conning, claiming to be an alchemist, which was so popular amongst the nobles, and I know you guys will like this, because the search for the Philosopher's Stone was really, really popular at this time.
Like me, that's so cool.
So basically Casanova was
Gringotts, guys.
Yeah, he is. He's super, super highly sought after. And he profited handsomely, let me tell you.
I believe it.
However, he met his match in the Count de Saint-Germain, who said, she said, this very singular man, born to be the most barefaced of all imposters, declared with impunity, with a casual air, that he was a 300-year-old man and that he possessed the universal medicine, that he made anything he liked from nature, and that he created diamonds. And she had none of it.
Casanova, you're not Nicholas Flamel.
No.
Stop pretending you're Nick. You're not.
You're not Nicky. No. All right?
We know Nicky. He's not hanging around. Actually, he was in Paris, wasn't he?
He was in Paris, yeah. He did live in Paris. Crumbling.
Maybe that was why.
Yeah. So he was this bizarrely trusted guy, even though, you know, as much as Count de Saint-Germain was trying to say, nah, don't trust this bloke.
Everyone was still even though bloke. He's telling everyone that he's bloke. 300 years old.
Yeah. Everyone's like, trust him with
but
my life.
But everyone else loves it.
Yeah, very bizarre. But in 1759, his reputation was so good that... guys, should I have practiced these names? Yes, I should.
No.
Did I?
This is so much more entertaining.
Definitely not.
Gostiana. Okay, so it's literally spelled like gust of wind.
Gust of wind. The classic
then
gust.
In and then Anna. So Gust and Anna.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's like Justinia. Not bad, actually. Win. Anyway. A trusted young Venetian woman was caught up in a love affair with Casanova's friend, Andrea Memo, who was son of Venice, like one of Venice's leading families. So she reached out to Casanova because she was pregnant with Memo's baby. And she knew that that would completely ruin her reputation. But Memo's family was like, nope, you can't marry her. Absolutely not. So she had no choice, she felt, but to try and terminate with the pregnancy.
Oh, no.
Yeah. However, obviously at the time, super dangerous, obviously illegal. And so she's like, I'll go to my super trustworthy occult alchemist pal, Casanova.
Oh, I hate him.
Yeah. Oh, God, this is not going to end well.
So picture this. They meet at a masquerade boil.
What? A masquerade boil. It's a little boil with a mask on.
Guys, I can't speak.
Today?
This is the most chaotic episode we've ever done. I'm so sorry. Christ alive. I'm crying. Guys, I should have read this since the last week when we recorded it.
I did not.
I'm winging it and it's not working out.
So they meet at masquerade boil.
Really?
And then what happens?
At a masquerade boil, to avoid suspicion, and they leave the boil halfway through to go to a midwife. Unfortunately, this doesn't work. So she is so desperate and she begs Casanova to find another way. And oh boy, did he have a suggestion for her. He was like, don't worry, I have an ointment that that will definitely end your term. But the thing is, it has to be applied inside of you. So what I have to do is spread it on my mini Casanova and then put it inside of you.
No.
So he did. He did that. God, he did that. It's disgusting.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
No.
Yeah, he's distinctly a bad bloke. If it wasn't already very clear that he was a bad bloke, this is just another...
See, part one, I liked him. I thought he was quite fun.
Yeah, he did some dodgy stuff in part one, but this is really, really, really bad.
Part two.
This is even dodgier.
This is awful.
Yeah.
Yuck.
So weirdly, it didn't work. And she had to go and have the baby in a convent, which seems to be a recurring theme around Casanova. So anyway, despite being a really gross lech, things were actually going very well for Casanova. And he ended up working as a state spy. So bear in mind that in another country, he had literally been put in jail for like affront to religion and like being a threat to the state. He was now in France working as a state spy, profiting hugely off the Seven-Year War. And the French government even offered him a title and a pension if he would become a French citizen and work on their behalf in the finance ministry.
No.
But luckily for them, I know, but luckily for them, he declined. Instead, he decided to open a silk manufacturing business. But much like everything else, he couldn't sustain it and he peaked too early. He ran the business poorly, borrowed heavily by trying to save it, and he spent so much of his wealth on constant liaisons with his female workers who he called his harem.
No, he did not.
Yeah. And he fucked it so badly, he literally was fucking it and everything so badly, that he managed to get imprisoned again for debt.
In Paris?
Yeah, in France. And then he had to flee to Cologne and then Stuttgart in the spring of 1760, where again he lost any of the rest of the money that he had. He's honestly, he's at this point, he's like, honestly, how have I managed to do this again?
He's a fucking idiot.
I know. And he even thinks about joining a monastery, which really for him does mean he must have hit rock bottom.
Oh, for goodness sake. Stop pretending to be a good, wholesome human being.
You're clearly not. And he was like, I'm going to do it. And then he realised, oh, that means I have to stop shagging. So he was like, I'm not going to do that. And instead, he proceeded to shag his way through Marseille, then Genoa, then Florence, then Rome, then Medina and Turin, and then Naples. In 1961, during which he accidentally...
1961?
Wait. Oh, sorry.
I was like, how old is he?
Wait, so he is 300 years old.
In 1761, during which time he accidentally hits on his neglected daughter, Leonilda.
No.
Yeah.
Does Luckily, he know it's his daughter? Or he's just worked because she's so neglected.
Oh, he's just hitting on literally everyone to the point where he even starts to hit on his own flesh and blood.
Oh my God.
That is repulsive.
Disgusting.
This fucking guy.
But when he realises it's his daughter, he does... He decides against magging her, which is definitely
good. I'd say that was a good call, yeah.
Yeah, generally. Probably the only good call he's made thus far.
He's ever made.
Yeah.
So he starts taking on fake names. He's really conning everyone. He calls himself the Chevalier de Sengard, or his other name, Count de Ferrucci.
Oh, dear God.
This is very catty of him as well, just to pick these like very extravagant names.
Yes.
Count de Ferrucci. Yeah. Count You're not a count, mate. Honestly.
God.
And when he returns to Paris, pretending to be a count, pretending to be all these fancy people... He also attempts his most outrageous and ridiculous scheme. This is more ridiculous than the 300-year thing. It's just
this is saying something.
I know. We didn't think it could get any worse, but it does. He gets back and he claims that through expert knowledge of the mystical Kabbalah, which, do you know what that is?
The Kabbalah, yeah.
Do you know who else was into this? Madonna.
I know a lot of people who are into this. Who?
Madonna. Madonna.
Oh, yeah, loads of people who are into this. Don't doubt it.
Honestly, never thought that Casanova and Madonna would have something in common, but here we are.
Yeah, it's massive.
So he's like, I've got this knowledge, and he says that he can reincarnate the soul of the very rich Marquise de Urf, the one who I was talking about earlier, the egg lady, who's very rich. And he's like, I'm going to reincarnate her soul into the body of a baby.
What actual fuck? That's so creepy.
What a little creep.
So he like strings her along for ages. He's like living with her, all this other stuff.
What?
After several years.
Because Egg Lady is alive, right?
She is alive, but she's old.
Oh, I see.
And she's like, reincarnate me into this baby boy.
What the hell is going on?
Weirdly.
It's like they've dropped too much acid.
I know. And the fact that everyone just believes him. They're like, you're 300 years old and you're going to reincarnate me, the egg, into this baby.
Me,
makes
the
so
egg.
Much sense.
Me, the egg lady, into this baby. Weirdly, again, very strange. Turns out he couldn't do that. Instead,
so odd.
That's so weird. So instead, Casanova just steals some of her stuff and then like legs it. He legs it to London.
God.
But he doesn't speak English. So he can't, you know, pick up as many English roses around the town as he likes. He's just selling off all the stuff that he sold, being like, why won't anyone shag me? Not really bothering to learn English. Mm-mm. So instead, he gets someone to just translate this bit of text for him and puts out an ad in the paper seeking to, quote unquote, rent his apartment to the quote-unquote right lady. And his favourite candidate was a Mistress Pauline. And soon, instead of inviting this lady round, he just moves into her apartment and seduces her.
No.
Yeah.
What the heck?
But luckily, Mistress Pauline, however it's pronounced.
A queen.
She is a queen. And she basically takes all his money and gives him lots of STDs.
Yay! I was wondering when he was going to get the clap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's
got bloody time.
He's got the clap and then some.
Oh, good.
So then he's like, okay, London is clearly not for me. England is not for me. He starts to try and relive his glory days. He goes, I'm going to sell that lottery scheme that did so well in France. He goes to Russia. He goes to Catherine the Great. And she's literally like, absolutely not.
Yeah, because she's a fucking legend.
She is a legend. Whoa. And she basically kicks him out of Russia. He then went on to be expelled from Warsaw because he gets into a pistol duel with some guy over an Italian
famously
actress.
Famously not okay.
No, honestly. He's like...
He's doing a lot of travelling, isn't he?
He's doing much travelling. Like, guy, like, just chill.
Like, just chill out.
What
just
are you
like...
running from?
Tell us. Why are you banging all these actresses like your mother was an actress and what are you running from? Fraud would have a fucking field day.
He fucking would.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do start to slow things down here because he is now known across Europe for his reckless behaviour. He couldn't commit a con anywhere. No one trusts him. He roams about for the final few years and eventually he returns to Venice in 1774.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. But Venice had changed for him. So even after 18 years of wishing he could go back, he gets back and he's like, I have no money for gambling. There's very few willing females because he has smallpox scars. He has sunken cheeks and he's got a hook nose.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And he's just like, this is sad. He hears about the death of his mother and he's really sad about it.
Oh, but apparently, his mum has died.
His mum's died. He's really sad about it. But apparently he is far more devastated by the death of the woman who first gave him a handjob. Lest we forget, Bettina Gozzi. He literally goes to her deathbed and she dies in his arms.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because he's like...
Whilst giving him a handjob. One last jobby for the road.
He's like pulling it out like, can you just... Do you mind?
Yeah.
Go she's on. Like,
okay. Oh
my God.
That's so grim.
Awful. She sees the pearly gates and she's like, one more time.
One more time, baby cakes, just for you.
Hate that. I hate it.
Hate that.
One way to go.
Okay.
So, I would say probably rather iconically this next thing happens to him. So, guys, shocker. He's banished from Venice again.
Wait,
they drop kick him out of Venice.
He's banished from Venice again.
Banished?
Yeah. He's banished because he keeps taking the piss out of all the nobles.
No.
Yeah.
They banish him. That is so.
They literally
so
go and they're like, get rid of this guy. He's been back. We got rid of him for 18 years. We were like, you can come back. And he keeps talking smack about us.
Fuck off.
Get out, you mug. Look at you. So anyway, he's like, I'm done. I'm going to go and retire in Bohemia, which is now the Czech Republic. And he gets there.
Oh. I've always wondered where Bohemia was.
Yeah.
I didn't know Bohemia was a ting.
Yeah. It was a ting and now it's the Czech Republic. So he's in Bohemia.
He's in Bohemia, famously.
He is retired. And he is like...
Retired from what, bro?
From his sexcapades. He's like, I'm over it. I've got too many STDs. I need to call it quits. Quit while he's not ahead. He just needs to quit.
He's riddled.
Yeah, he's riddled. So he starts writing his memoirs, which reveal many, many things. Many things. But I thought I'd just keep one of the things that was revealed until this point. So do you remember that little estranged daughter of his, Leonilda, the one that he accidentally hit on in Naples? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, buckle up, guys, because this is his dodgiest story yet.
Oh, sweet
Years
Lord.
Later, after hitting on her, Leonilda's mum, Casanova's ex, who I believe is also the person who he thought was a boy.
Oh, Castrato. Castrato.
The Castrato.
Oh, yes.
I believe that's Leonilda's mum. Is like, come on over, see what we've done with the place. Come round, meet your daughter. She's got married, she's well happy. But anyway, Casanova gets there and Leonilda's like really sad because her hubby won't give her the child that she so desperately wanted.
No.
Oh,
so
no.
So Casanova's like, don't worry, babes, I've got you. This like very logical go-to, not at all weird plan. He'll just impregnate her himself, you know?
What the actual...
No.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He actually brags about it in his writing, saying that the unholy union had the desired effect, and 9 months later, he became a daddy uncle to Leonardo's brother's son.
What
daddy granddaddy?
The hell?
Yeah.
He had
Oh, not daddy uncle,
daughter.
Is it? Daddy granddaddy.
Daddy granddaddy.
That's disgusting.
Hate it.
That is
oh my God.
Absolutely disgusting.
To a brother's son.
Oh my God.
It's a no. So, you know, this, along with many other scandalous tales, are written about in his epic memoirs.
He is so vile. Messed up.
It's gross. It's gross.
Do you think everyone was this disgusting? It's just that he was the only one who was like, I'm going to write this down.
Well, this is the thing, because his memoirs are really, really famous for sort of like being an indicator of what people got up to at the time and what they were like. But I will say that he is... debauched beyond belief. Like, the man needed a hobby. I must say, obviously, the second latter half of his life doesn't paint him massively well. We have to remember the first half of his life. He is like the OG fuckboy. He lived his life for scandal. He lived his life for living. He really, really lived. And he actually prefaced his memoirs saying, I was all my life the victim of my senses. I have delighted in going astray, and I have constantly lived in error, with no consolation than that of knowing I have erred. My follies are the follies of youth. You will see that I laugh at them, and if you are kind, you will laugh at them with me. He was so clearly a fuckboy, but he wore it as a badge of honour, never trying to convince anyone of anything else. Finally, of his fuckboyery, which is, you know, the exact term that he used, he wrote... Cultivating whatever gave pleasure to my senses was always the chief business of my life. I never found any occupation more important. Feeling that I was born for the sex opposite of mine, I have always loved it and done all that I can to make myself loved by it.
Which is fine, Casanova, and admirable, as long as you're not fucking people over and, like, impregnating your daughter. Do you know what I mean?
Sounds like you are.
Like, celebrate your senses, but... don't do it at the cost of other people.
Avoid incest whilst doing that.
Yes.
Avoid incest at all costs, please. Yeah.
I mean, I would say that, like, Casanova is kind of the prime example of, like, ultimate men we have apologised for. Like, he has gotten away with murder. Heath Ledger played him as a sex icon, and the man was a decrepit, gross, STD-riddled... little worm, and yet he's become a sex icon.
An accurate representation of what this bloke was like, because Heath Ledger does not cut the mustard.
No, he's too good. So guys, my actual last question was going to be for you, are you a Casanova apologist? But I don't think either of you are.
Definitely not. I was enjoying him in part one.
Yeah.
When he made that woman go into the convent and had sex with that 13-year-old girl, that's when it really started declining for me.
Yeah. It's not the one, and, is it?
No.
The only thing I will applaud him for is that prison break.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Very impressive. But I think he shouldn't have... they should have kept him in there. Lock him up. Throw away the keys.
Just lock him up, yeah.
Ban all
pasta.
Hide
all the marble. Ban the pasta.
Why wasn't he just a fucking lawyer?
Honestly.
Like, perfectly fine career. Just be a lawyer. Like, could be thrilling, you know?
Yeah. He's. Do you reckon he's of that same fuckboy ilk as the one who took you on a gondola ride, Kath? Men and their gondolas.
No, I think Gondola Boy probably likes to think of himself as a bit of a Casanova.
But it's not.
But not the same. I think
funny that it's something to aspire to, isn't it? Casanova.
An odd thing to think that you are.
That you want to be.
Yeah, he sounds like a bit of a psychopath.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting big Mr. Narcissist vibes.
Like concerningly psychopathic.
But also very tortured artist. I really do think it's thing of like pleasure seeking / doing something that feels like bigger than you. Yes. Like being like, I just gave my life to women, to art, to emotion, to feeling. And it's like, no, mate, you're just grim.
Yeah, which maybe he seemed like in the first half, and then in the second half, as you say, he becomes more calculated and just becomes this utter creep.
But he is. He is a spiritual fuckboy. He is a narcissist. He is a tortured artist.
Yeah. He's a nice guy.
He considers himself a nice guy. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, he is like poor daughter can't have a baby. I will just have to impregnate her with my semen.
This poor woman wants an abortion.
How is that pleasant for you? No.
Yeah,
no good.
That is disgusting.
Yeah.
So where do we put Casanova? The bin?
Oh, 100% I think in the skip.
Yeah. In the skip.
Well done, Hannah.
Incredible.
Thanks, guys.
You fucking nailed that.
I will say that the pronunciation even of ball went out the window. But we tried.
Boil. What was it?
Mercury retrograde.
A masquerade boil.
Yeah, it's Mercury retrograde, and we all know that
communication is down.
Is down.
Yeah.
Guys, power down.
Famously
on the communication
down.
Front.
Truly, what a pleasure that was to listen to. Thank you so much.
Wild. Can't believe I never knew that.
Thank you for listening. It was a delight.
Okay, guys, should we do a listener story?
Yes, please. So, yeah, I've got a short and sweet one for you guys today.
Oh, lovely. And also, just to say, the reason why we didn't do one last week is because it was a two-parter. But we do intend to do a weekly listener story. So please do send them in.
Please send them in. And you can also send around 40-second voice notes, beginning, middle, and end. We want to hear your voices.
Yeah.
And we can pick apart what fuckboy they are, obviously.
Yes. And they can be questions, like advice. They can be stories. You know, you just want to...
The lot. Oh, yeah, questions is a good idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which fuckboy am I dating?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one, we got this through Instagram and it really cracked me up. So this person says, no introduction, no nothing, just... One guy asked me for a coffee at 9 a.m. He showed me around his hometown a little and then pulled into his old high school parking lot and tried to finger me. No warm-up, no anything. Straight for the pants at 9:45 on a Wednesday. Then they say, a true gentleman waits until McDonald's stops selling breakfast.
That is so good. That is so good.
That is so good. Also, old high school, so he's not even at high school anymore.
Exactly.
Like, that's the kind of behaviour that you'd expect from a teenager. He's a fucking adult.
Oh my God, a grown-ass man.
9:45.
Yeah, come on. That's astounding. Thank you so much.
Too tired for that shit in the morning.
Absolutely.
Like, half awake.
Too old. Exactly. Too old, too tired.
Too old, too tired for a cheeky finger in the car park.
Oh,
at 9 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, like the McDonald's bit.
Yeah. It's like my standards are higher, but they're not that much higher. Admittedly.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you for sending that in.
Send more in.
At www.fboypodcast.com or on our Instagram.
Yeah. And as a voice note, also, so that we can play it on here, we can like change the pitch and make it not sound like you and stuff like that as well.
Great,
amazing.
We love each other so much. Oh, I hated that.
Oh, it's horrible.
Drowning cats.
Like drowning
sentiment
cats.
Stands though. Love you guys.
Links for
all our resources are in the show notes. Please do check them out.
Next week, we're going from the OG fuckboy Casanova to the 1920s starlet, Josephine Baker.
In the meantime, you can help us by rating us and following the F-Boy podcast wherever you're listening.
And if you have your very own F-Boy or F-Girl story, don't be shy. Be sure to send them to our submissions page on our website, www.fboypodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, and you can find even more fuckboyery on Instagram and Twitter at fboypodcast.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom Studios.
So watch out, Josephine.
We're coming for you.